Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for the life of Carol and all that she meant to each of us. In this time, as we commend her to your care and comfort one another with the stories of her life, we pray that you would be with us and that by the power of your Spirit, you would move among us. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm not quite tall enough. It was an interesting perspective before the service started when Father Bill and I were back this way, is that I could see into the room and I couldn't see the pictures on the screen of Carol, but I could see your faces and the smiles and the flashes of memory, and as you were thinking about Carol, that was heartwarming, and just now the same with that song, Hallelujah, to watch your faces. In a time of loss, we often have conflicting emotions. We're, of course, saddened at the loss of someone, especially Carol, but we're also at that same time happy for her, especially that the pain that she endured here near the end of her life is gone, and that she is united with those who have gone before her in the presence of Jesus Christ. Scripture speaks of death as both a friend and an enemy. And it is. It's a dichotomy. But and when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. But near the end of his life, in his last letter, when he wrote to the Philippians, he said, as for me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Carol, as all of you know, was a great student of Holy Scriptures. She and Bill both were constantly reading, studying, and applying God's Word. And Carol knew that death for her would be a gain. The loss is felt by those of us who remain. Now, this passage of Scripture, which I just read from the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, is one that she selected. And I believe it's selected for two reasons. One, it's a passage that gave her great comfort in her life, in her pilgrimage on earth. And I encourage you all to read it again today when you have a quiet time. But I think that she also selected it because she wanted it to comfort those of us who are here now, that we would have the words of comfort and hope that Jesus speaks that meant so much to her in her life. Jesus said, the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the door for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls to his own, and the sheep follow him. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. And by the way Carol lived her life, and by the way she would talk about her faith, there was no doubt in anyone's mind who spent time with her who her shepherd was, what shepherd she followed. But this image of shepherds, this image of gates and walls, are not really part of our culture. It's part of the Middle Eastern culture. And to share a little bit with you, when the sheep are in the fields, they're kept in pens at night for their protection. And several flocks are kept in there together. To separate the sheep from those combined flocks, the shepherd needs only to speak or to sing, and his sheep know his voice. They'll follow him. And as he walks away, his sheep will leave with him, and they can keep them separated. They will not follow the voice they don't recognize. Now, I have never, ever seen that. I've only read about it, and I've had people tell me about it who have seen it. It's still practiced today. But there is something that has always amazed me, and I think it's a little bit similar. It's the supernatural hearing ability of mothers. Mothers' ears are tuned in a different way. I'll give you an example. This is when I lived in Fayetteville. We had a large gathering at the house. There were probably 40 people there. A lot of noise, a lot of children in the house, and it was outside grilling, and my wife was standing there with me, and she said, "Do you hear that?" I said, "Hear what?" And she said, "Something's wrong. I hear one of the kids." How she could hear that, I have no idea. But I've learned that mothers' ears are tuned to the frequency of their children. Carol knew the voice of the Good Shepherd. She listened and she followed because her ears were tuned to the frequency of her Good Shepherd, Jesus. She listened, she followed, and she placed her absolute trust and her absolute hope in her Shepherd. Now, in the passage, it could be a little bit confusing because Jesus uses two analogies. I'm the Good Shepherd. But then he also refers to himself as a door. I am the door for the sheep. Maybe a bit confusing, but in reality, it's standard operating procedure for shepherds. The pens that these shepherds stayed in, or that the sheep were kept in, had one entrance. And at night, the shepherd would often sleep in that doorway, in that gateway. And so for all practical purposes, the shepherd was a gate. The shepherd was the door. They could come in and out only by passing through him. Sheep place their absolute trust in their shepherd. They follow, going in and out with him, being led to good pastures, as we just read in the 23rd Psalm. Being led to the still waters, being cared for. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the door. There is a small congregation in Johannesburg, South Africa. It's called Berea Baptist Church, Berea Baptist Mission. It's a tiny church, but it's near the center of town. And it came to the attention of the people in this congregation that about 40 to 50 babies, newborn babies, were being abandoned in the streets of the city. And so the congregation decided they would launch a ministry to help. And so they cut a small door in the side of their building, and they put a metal sign over it that could be lifted, and it's called the Door of Hope. The Door of Hope, and it is there so that women who were going to abandon their babies could lift it and place their baby inside. The congregation then takes that baby, they nurture it, they care for it, and they ultimately see them placed in families by adoption. They have in that small church, their ministry can handle 110 babies at one time. And they save more than 100 babies every year. It is a door of hope. Children are placed there and cared for. And you know that if Carol had lived in Johannesburg, she'd have been all over that. Her love for children is well known. If nothing else, she would have been knitting caps for them. Just like she did here, for the babies here. She said many times, and I know, and Father Bill has said that she had said this to him, that she was looking forward to joining Bill in that heavenly nursery caring for the unborn babies that have been aborted and were now in the kingdom of God. You know, most people think of heaven as the place where they're going to rest. She was thinking of it as going to work. She had her job lined up. But Carol knew there was another door of hope, Jesus Christ. Those who pass through this door receive the same thing that those babies receive, life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, might have it abundantly, but also that you might have it eternally. Carol passed through that door. The hope she placed in Jesus Christ today is her reality. That's where she is. It is her new reality. Carol was many things in her life. The daughter to Paul and Joan. A wife to Bill. A mother to Melody, Greg, and Chris. A grandmother. A great-grandmother. A friend. An avid dog lover. Something we had in common. A knitter of caps for babies. But she was first and foremost a sheep of the flock of the Good Shepherd. It's to his care that we entrust her today. And I know if Carol were here and would speak words of comfort to us, she would say, listen for the shepherd. Listen to the voice of the shepherd. Follow him. Place your trust and your hope in him. Amen.